Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we go to air Tuesday morning, the Illinois Department of Public Health is reporting a total of just over 22,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Illinois, which includes 794 people who've died from the disease. It's been found in 87 of Illinois' 102 counties. Dr. Ngozi Ezike is director of Illinois' Department of Public Health.
The individuals and the communities impacted by this virus have touched nearly every part of our state. We must stay the course and continue working together to practice physical distancing and stay at home as much as possible. This, along with wearing our masks and washing our hands and cleaning the frequently touched surfaces, are absolutely our best weapons against this virus.
Later this hour, we'll be speaking with Illinoisans who are documenting life during the COVID-19 pandemic for future generations. And we're checking in with how libraries, despite being closed, are adapting to serve their communities. But first, the coronavirus pandemic and changing consumer buying habits have left some grocery store shelves empty, but farmers with a surplus of fresh produce, dairy, and meat. As major consumers of meat and dairy, like restaurants and schools, close their doors, food industry regulators are pushing for new policies and trying to figure out what to do with the surplus supply. Brian Duncan's on the line with me now. He's a hog farmer in Ogle County. That's southwest of Rockford. Brian's also vice president of the Illinois Farm Bureau. Also joining me, I have Regellus Scavuzzo. She's Associate Director of Food Systems Development for the Illinois Farm Bureau. Brian, Regella, welcome to the 21st. Glad to have you with us.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here, Brian. Yeah, thanks for having us on today.
And as ever, we invite you to join the conversation. Have your food buying habits changed? Give us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. Brian, I want to start with you. Can you just begin by telling us a little bit more about your farm?
Yeah, sure, Brian. We're a family farm. My wife and I farm with our son and two daughters are involved in the farming operation. We grow row crops, corn and soybeans. Have a wing-to-finish hog operation. I'm still an independent hog producer. And then we also custom feed cattle for some individuals. So that's what my farm looks like.
And, you know, I think when we see the empty shelves in grocery stores, Brian, whether it's in person, as I have, or on social media, at least some of the shelves, if we can't get what we need at the grocery store, I think it contributes to this perception that there is a shortage of food out there. But from your standpoint, that's not really the case, is it?
That's absolutely correct. There's a surplus here on the farm. What we are seeing are logistics problems, supply chain issues, as consumers have changed their eating patterns because of shelter-at-home policies. We've seen a shift in the needs from food service industry, hospitality industries, restaurants, hotels, the like, to a greater demand for food at the retail space and the grocery stores. And not only is the packaging different for retail than it is for food service, but even the cuts, the type of products that people buy and consume are different through retail. And so that's created a major hiccup, I guess, if you will, for a highly technical term, in the supply chain and the ability for processors to get that product to the grocery stores.
So, Regella, I want to ask you, when we're talking about the food industry, we're talking about a lot of different things, right? You have farmers like Brian, you have grocery stores, factories, production lines, restaurants, I guess you can count in there. I wonder if that contributes to the disconnect between our perception of how much food is out there and how much is really available.
It does. So there's there's multiple facets to the food system. And when you start looking at different pieces, every piece has a series of steps that it takes. And so the food that you put on your plate may have had 12 to 15 different steps before it got to your plate. And it's across the industry. So, you know, an onion going to an onion ring at a restaurant is going to be very different than the bag of onions that you're buying in your grocery store. The same goes for eggs. For example, eggs might be liquid eggs in the food service industry. And so that egg industry, that egg producer might be shipping it to a place that turns it into liquid eggs, that cartons it, or to a restaurant, it might go to flats, but into your grocery store, it goes into 12 dozen cartons. All three have different processing facilities, different steps that are required for regulation and how it's all put together. So it's a logistical issue that takes, when you move one step to another, it can't just on the dime turn into the other piece.
So yeah, you can't just, I guess, and that's something that maybe people might not understand is that, you know, that bag of onion or that onion that was destined to be in a ring cannot very easily just be handed off to a grocery store instead.
Yeah. So, you know, for example, carrots. At a restaurant, they might be a 50-pound bag of carrots, but in the grocery store, you're going to buy a 2-pound bag. Those are different bags. Those are different washing and sorting and grading pieces. And you have to have different equipment for each piece that does something different. The same thing happens with cheese and butter and cream. So all of the industry, depending on where it's going, could be as much as how it's packaged and the facility that it goes. Restaurants are going to buy 50-pound bags of shredded cheese, but the grocery store wants 2-8-ounce packages. Those are two different processes in which they go through, and a facility may not be set up for that.
And Margella, what is your response when you hear that people are worried about food shortage?
It's not that the food's there. It just doesn't neatly take one step to the other, and it takes time for the system to readjust and make those decisions. I know that there's been concerns that things like the food banks, why can't we just donate at the product? Well, the same issue faces with them. When you're looking at, you know, the 50 pounds of cheese, somebody has to change that 50 pounds of cheese into consumable amounts for the consumer. And at food banks, it requires volunteers that they may have. The grocery store, it requires different sets of things. But the food's there. It's just a readjustment of our system.
Yeah, I love cheese. We love cheese in our house, but I think 50 pounds would be a lot to deal with. Brian, the coronavirus and everything that came along with it ramped up here in the U.S. in just a matter of weeks, it seems like. Although it, you know, sometimes feels like it's been years, but you know, something like raising livestock does take a lot of preparation, at least months in advance. Brian, how has the timeline of this crisis affected you in terms of your production?
Well, it's creating a bottleneck at the processing side, you know, and like you said, Brian, it was almost a year ago that the plans were laid for the hogs that are going to market today. The adult females are bred, they gestate, the pigs are born, and 6 months later they go to market. So that whole thing takes about a year. And it's a biological system that you just can't pull the plug on. There are, as processing plants have problems with COVID, having employees either ill or not coming to work, they slow down what they're capable of handling. And then that slows down the pigs they can take from me on the farm, which then backs up my facilities that have to take the new pigs that are being born. I mean, it is really a just-in-time delivery system, and it runs at max capacity most of the time, so there's not a lot of room for backing the system up. There just isn't time, and like my facilities, not only are they emptied and loaded with the next set of pigs coming, but we need to have time to wash, disinfect in between each set of pigs. The barns are made spotless and completely disinfected, and that takes time as well. So you are really, if you want to think about a system as a chain moving through a bunch of gears, it's flowing through the gears here, and COVID-19 has just put a screwdriver in the gear. I mean, things just come to a halt. But the back gears keep moving, and it just keeps pushing product where right now it's very hard to move it on down through the system.
So what happens to your pigs?
Well, that's a great question. So this is a first for me, right? So we're working through it with the processors who we deliver pigs to. We are changing diets up to slow the growth of the pigs. We are looking at maybe double loading some facilities until we get the facility, the next facility empty. There's all sorts of strategic, creative things going on that that I don't know if will work or not, but we're sure going to try.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The 21st. We're talking about how the coronavirus has affected the food and production landscape here in Illinois with Brian Duncan. He's a hog farmer in Ogle County. And Rogella Scavuzzo, she's Associate Director of Food Systems Development for the Illinois Farm Bureau. As a reminder, you can always join the conversation. If you felt worried about being able to get enough food, give us a call, 800-222-9455, or you can tweet us at 21st Show. Rogella, yesterday we were speaking with Brent Schwer, who's the owner of Ingrained Restaurant and Brewery in Springfield, and he said he's, you know, still having to figure out how to navigate this situation as a restaurant owner. And I wonder, how has the restaurant industry as a whole been affected? How do they connect to producers?
So the restaurant industry has been a dramatic shift both for the producers and the farms. Brent is one of those examples that buys from local farms, and they plan out their ordering ahead of time. And if he's unable to place those orders, those farms no longer have the outlet that they had planted with in mind. And you're seeing restaurants try and shift with this. You're seeing curbside pickups, and you're seeing delivery options. But not all of these businesses were set up for that. Most restaurants weren't designed to just be a grab-and-go business. So they're having to shift how they function. You're seeing limited menus. You're seeing to-go. But you're also seeing a change in their staffing. They can't have as many people working, but they're trying to support their staff. And you're seeing limited hours or online ordering. And we're seeing e-commerce pop up both for restaurants and farms as an alternative option to try and connect with those consumers, reduce the exchange of cash, and really have an opportunity to reach a broader audience.
So in 2018, I think Americans spent more on food from full service and fast food restaurants, $678 billion, compared to the $627 billion spent at grocery stores. So more at restaurants than grocery stores. That's according to USDA data. And now the National Restaurant Association is saying they expect the industry is going to lose hundreds of billions of dollars over the next few months, millions of jobs. So let's talk about, you know, what are some solutions we can get to? And we're also seeing farmers having to dump products, like 5% of the country's milk supply is being dumped, apparently. Brian, I wonder, you know, what kind of things do we need to do for farmers like yourself from the federal government right now?
Well, I think there's a couple things, Brian, and you bring up the dumping of product, and that's where we're at until we get this economy moving again. And so I think what the federal government can do, and state governments as well. And before I say this, I want to stress that I understand there are people, and this is a horrible virus, and there are parts of the country that have experienced terrible things, and my heart goes out for those that are suffering. And so I want to lay that out first. But yet, as we look forward, that's, I think, what we need to do is to look forward and have a constructive, cohesive plan for how we open things up. Because there are areas of this country that could perhaps begin a journey back to life as normal. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how we go about opening things up, but I think those are discussions that we need to start having so we can provide an atmosphere of some certainty for farmers and for markets, because right now everything's very uncertain, and markets do not like uncertainty, and we've seen commodity markets fall pretty much by 40% across the board. So I think that's step one. Step two is there's going to need to be some financial aid going out to farmers to help them span this gap here when the economy's been shut down. We're going to need agriculture on the backside of this. We're going to need production. I mean, those hogs were going places prior to this. The milk was being consumed through schools, mm-hmm. and we don't want to come through this with a completely devastated food sector. And same way with biofuels and the energy sector that agriculture provides. We need it healthy on the backside of this. And so I think there's going to need to be direct aid, loans for farmers, low interest, the type of a way to bridge this gap right now.
Well, there's so much more about this topic we could talk about, but I'm afraid we have to leave it there. That's Brian Duncan. He's a hog farmer in Ogle County, southwest of Rockford. He's also vice president of the Illinois Farm Bureau. We also spoke with Rogella Scavuzzo, associate director of food systems development for the Illinois Farm Bureau. Brian, Rogella, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us about this today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Coming up after the break, we'll be speaking with some of the people around Illinois who are documenting life during the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm Brian Mackey. Stay close. You're listening to The 21st.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.